Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us on Primetime here on Money FM 89.3. Now, senior trade negotiators for the U.S. and China are expected to sit down in Washington today and tomorrow. There are only days to go until further American tariffs apply to Chinese products on October the 15th. But their talks may be cut down to one day without much headway.
Well, Chinese Vice Premier Liu He will lead the Chinese delegation and negotiate with the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. Last month, in the sign of goodwill, both sides made concessions by suspending some planned tariffs. Yet on Monday, the U.S. Department said it was putting 28 Chinese entities on the U.S. trade blacklist.
Can the talks in Washington de-escalate the trade war between the two mammoth countries? We speak to Alex Capri, visiting senior fellow of analytics and operations at NUS Business School, to give us a curtain raiser, if you will, on the long-awaited U.S.-China trade talks. Alex, what do you think the sentiment's like now as delegates head into Thursday's talks? Has U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to blacklist selected companies and impose a visa ban on some Chinese officials had an impact on the mood going into the meeting?
Yes, I think the long-term prognosis here is that this is not really going to fix anything. I think these talks are about basically trying to smooth things down, perhaps address some of the deficit issues that the Trump administration has been focusing on. But I think in terms of the systemic structural issues that really are at the heart of this incongruous relationship, I don't think those get addressed or fixed.
Well, Alex, at this moment, which side do you think has more bargaining power now?
The Trump sort of pattern has been to drop a bombshell, usually within a few days of negotiations, to create leverage. In this case, you mentioned it earlier, the listing of another 28 entities on the restricted entity list. A whole combination of entities, not just tech companies, but government bureaus and individuals, et cetera, including Hikvision, for example, and others. So, that has the potential of really, really riling the waters and making creating a sort of a knock on effect. Beijing is talking about releasing the so-called unreliable suppliers list, which is reputed to have firms like FedEx, contract manufacturer Flex, HSBC, etc. So these types of things, I think, rather than create leverage, I think they muddy the waters a little bit more. So I really don't think that's necessarily a positive thing for the talks.
Then what can we expect, though, at the end of the first day of talks?
I would say, if after the end of the first day, it's all about we agree to keep talking and, in good faith, for example, Beijing says we'll buy more agricultural goods. And then we'll continue to talk about these more substantive issues. I think that would be a successful outcome.
Mm-hmm. You don't see any chance of an interim or like a partial deal or something?
If there is one, I think, yes, there could be one. But again, these are not going to address the substantive issues of, things like technology transfer, things like subsidies, state-owned support. I do think that if there is an area where Beijing might actually show some good faith, it might be in the financial markets to loosen things up a little bit for financial firms and firms in the financial sector. That certainly would be a good faith sort of interim, sort of a cooling down gesture. So we'll have to wait and see.
The currency pact as well that President Trump mentioned?
Have to wait and see about that. Again, I don't think anything conclusive comes out of this. Maybe promises to dig into it and chip away at it a bit more, but I don't think anything major.
Okay. Is there any other main sticking points, and can they be overcome at all?
It's so hard to predict how these talks are going to go, as you know from previous, from previous rounds. I think it would be somewhat difficult to really make a prediction.
What about the speculation that Mr. Liu could leave on Friday without offering any major concessions? What do you think?
Well, that's certainly been discussed. That is a perspective that has has been shared by a number of observers. You know, if that does happen, that doesn't necessarily mean that all trade talks are dead and buried, but it does show that both sides are digging in. And I think at the end of the day, financial markets in particular are going to have to learn to bake in this bigger systemic issue, this bigger systemic rivalry, and they're going to have to learn that this is a long-term, perhaps even a generational phenomenon that is just not going to get solved with any kind of a cosmetic trade so-called deal.
Mm-hmm. So what happens if the talks break down again?
Well, you know, it's not good. I would expect probably escalation. We could actually see imposition of this next wave of tariffs that you mentioned. And then, of course, you know, we could expect retaliation. Now, I have been saying now for a couple of years that the real issue, the real disruptive force that is coming out of this, you know, these confrontational episodes is, in fact, the increase of non-tariff measures. And, you know, of course, tariffs, they're disruptive, they add costs, and they certainly become the catalyst for disruption in supply chains. But non-tariff measures include things like export licensing and controls and these block deals that we're seeing and these restricted entity lists. These things are potentially really, really disruptive because of the interconnectedness of these supply chains. So if you take Hikvision, the maker of facial recognition cameras, that's just been placed on the entity list, on this restricted entity list. That action has an immediate impact on companies like NVIDIA, which makes microchips for the cameras, Intel, for the big contract manufacturer Flex, which has been assembling and making these types of cameras. So this is just a little microcosm of how pervasive these types of non-tariff measures will be, and how this is going to lead to some serious shakeups in global supply chains.
We seem to be coming from a really pessimistic view, though, Alex. Are there chances that the talks could be successful?
Yeah. How does one define success? If one defines success, of, you know, pertaining to this round of talks as we are going to agree, this is China speaking, we're going to agree to buy a lot more of your products, right? We're going to agree to buy more, as I mentioned, agricultural, you know, pork and soybeans and that type of thing. If you look at this bilateral deal that's just been entered into between Japan and the United States, that's exactly what happened. You know, the Japanese managed to persuade the Americans, for the moment anyways, not to impose any kind of tariffs on automobiles. They agreed to open up the market further to U.S. agricultural products. So I think Beijing looked at that and said, you know, I think this might be a formula for us to try and follow. If we can do that, maybe we can, you know, we can buy time. And, you know, we can try and manage this, you know, over the long term. But I think that would probably be a successful outcome. That would be an optimistic outcome for me. And then if you could throw in maybe additional concessions. So on the U.S. side, the U.S. administration would be expected to back off of Huawei, mm-hmm. and basically perhaps extend the stay on the technology ban to Huawei for another, you know, indefinite period of time. It would, you know, the licensing would still be involved. But again, that is definitely not a given. That is not necessarily a given at all. So I think we just have to wait and see how this plays out.
Mm-hmm. Well, could the October 15th deadline for the next round of tariffs be pushed back further? I mean, especially if there are signs that talks could succeed. I mean, however you want to define that in the 14th round.
Yes, I do. I do think that is very, very possible. I think that's even likely if the talks go well. That we would see again either a postponement or an extension or possibly even a conditional rollback on those tariffs. But that again, you know, it's hard to predict how likely that will be.
Well, Alex Capri, visiting a senior fellow, analytics and operations at NUS Business School. Thank you very much for joining us here on Primetime, Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.